Jared Doyle Show.
A lot of new shows on TV this fall. They were supposed to be, they said last night the series Mom was going to have its season premiere on CBS, which it didn't. It was a little disappointing because I love that show. But Sunday night, there's two shows in particular that seem to be, in my opinion, and to a certain degree, the opinion of our guest Anita Finley, a little too political. In particular, we're talking about the series The Good Wife and Madam Secretary. Anita Finley is an actress. You probably know her work on 24, great series. She was Dr. Nora Thompson on The Young and the Restless, YNR, for those of you in the know. And you probably know her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which spent 4 weeks in the number one, 4 months in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry. For a second, I got scared. I thought you were demoting me.
No. I had a little brain synapse there that didn't fire correctly. I looked right at 16. It says weeks. And then I went months, whatever. You know, I tried to transpose 16 weeks into 4 months, and it came out as 4 weeks, and there you have it. But it was still number one on Amazon's Women in Politics list, so good for you. Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a great read. Hey, I sent you an email a few days back asking you the question, did you see the title of last night's Madam Secretary, Another Benghazi? Weird. And your reply was, yes, I did. I keep telling you the media is not on Hillary's side. CBS has already shown its true colors with the much discredited 60 Minutes Benghazi report from Lara Logan that went way out of its way to bash Hillary. And there she was again. And you say you get furious when entertainment crosses the line to reality. For me, the show Madam Secretary, they should have just had a crawl across the bottom. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? But I think what a lot of people don't get, which you do, is that the media, in a lot of people's minds, is in the tank for Hillary Clinton. And that the show Madam Secretary is designed to benefit Hillary Clinton's political aspirations for 2016.
But that's where you and I disagree. I think that the media has never been in the tank for her. They will never be in the tank for her. However, you know, whatever Madam Secretary is doing, I have a different objection to them calling the episode Another Benghazi, which I'll get to in a minute. But, you know, anyone who's done the amount of research that I have and watched them figuratively defecate on that woman in 2008, I mean, it was, you know, if someone wants to read my book, 315 footnotes later, I promise you, the case is made. You know, they already have spent time speculating about whether being a grandma is going to be enough to take the White House away from her and whether she's no longer qualified. And Candy Crowley of CNN is talking about if she's too soft and all of this. So believe me, she is going to get more scrutiny than any other candidate. She always has been raked over the coals, even for no other reason. It isn't even about whether they dislike her, Jerry. That's not even the point anymore. They are obsessed. She's one of the most famous and accomplished women in the world, and they don't know what to do with it. And I think, you know, I was just writing something new about her, and I realized that they don't really know how to fathom. They cannot process. They have no frame of reference for a woman who is very disciplined, and she's extremely disciplined, who is very tough, but is also a motherly or compassionate person. They don't know how to see a woman as soft and hard at the same time. That does not compute to them, and they will try to dissect her and find the most evil, you know, methodology or motives, rather, behind everything that she does. That's number one. But my objection was basically with The Good Wife, which we'll get to, too. But Madam Secretary, I objected to them calling this Another Benghazi for a reason. You know, on the episode, for anyone who didn't see it, they were dealing with another sort of a terrorist attack or some sort of an invasion on an embassy in some foreign land and trying to get the ambassador and family safely out of there. But when they call it Another Benghazi, what they're doing is acting as though this TV show is somehow equal to or the equivalent of real live events, and they never can be. Along the same lines, The Good Wife had none other than Valerie Jarrett, the chief and closest advisor to President Obama. This woman is probably closer to him in the White House than anyone. What she's doing on The Good Wife, playing herself like she has nothing better to do, number one, you know, whatever the entertainment mavens, the producers are thinking, I think their thinking is wrong about all of this, because they're trying to make it seem as though what you're watching is real, and all they achieve is doing the opposite. They wind up trivializing real events, like the four deaths in Benghazi, number one, and like, you know, real political trials that we face every day, number two. It takes you out of the action. It doesn't bring you closer, because all you're looking at is a woman who is in a political operative who cannot act, so she takes you away from what you're watching. But then it also takes you out of the drama, and you're wondering, wait a second, and I had a lot of other people react this way to me too, Jerry, why doesn't she have anything better to do? The optics of it are very bad.
It is, you know, but to a certain degree, I talked about this a little earlier in the show, Anita, that I forget the Democrat right now, I'm blanking on his name, but they were having a big hearing today on the Secret Service lapses at the White House.
Which, you mean? Either Chaffetz or...
No, it was God, I can't remember his name here right now, but he's a Democrat, and he skipped out of the hearing to go do a hit on MSNBC. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this guy doing? Oh, here it is. Elijah Cummings, Democrat from Maryland, ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, left the hearing to go do a hit on MSNBC. And he said this: I'm very concerned with Julia Pearson. She's the head of the Secret Service. He said, she's the director of the Secret Service. I'm trying to listen very carefully, but I must tell you my trust is eroding. Andrea Mitchell signs off on MSNBC and thanks for coming out and briefing us. So it was more important for him to be on TV on MSNBC than it was for him to be in the hearing about why this dude got into the White House, past the stairs going up to where the living quarters of the president and the first family are, and got past the Secret Service agent and got into the East Room. And he left the hearing. Why did they feel so compelled to be on TV? I'll let you jump in a second. There's another one. Peter King, the Republican, on Homeland Security. He was on TV responding to Ted Cruz didn't know who he was. And he said, I'm surprised he doesn't know who I am. He said, I'm the third highest Republican for number of TV appearances. I'm thinking to myself, why do you know that number? Why is that so important? But that's where it's at today, that these politicians and these White House spokespeople and advisors seem to be more interested in being on TV than doing what they're supposed to do.
Oh, bingo. I think you're absolutely right about that. But that, you know, that really is my frustration. And think about how ridiculous it is for, you know, Representative Cumming to say his trust is eroding in Ms. Pearson, but he left the hearing when she might have been saying something that was important for him to hear in terms
exactly.
of what's going on or what she's doing to correct it.
Right, but
you're laughing. Obviously, you see what I'm saying. It's like, where is the logic in this? Answer, there isn't any. But, you know, since you started out by talking about Benghazi, here's something I thought was fascinating. When, you know, Hillary was doing her testimony on the Hill, she was testifying for about for 5 hours. She stayed extra. She said, I'm going to stay here until all your questions are answered. So we were into the 5.5 hour mark, and there was a congressman, and most of them who were giving her a hard time really didn't give her a chance to speak. They wanted their 5 minutes on camera to try their best to embarrass the administration and, if
sure.
possible, to sully her in advance of 2016. That was pretty obvious. So there was I think it was Representative Duncan. He had a question, but all he did was talk. For 5 minutes, he did not give her a chance to answer. It was about 5:15 in the afternoon Washington time. Then the floor was turned over to an Arkansas representative, and he turned his time back over to the secretary. Instead of asking a question, he ceded the time so she could answer Duncan. There had not been 8 minutes elapsed. The camera panned over. Duncan already left. So that's how much he cared about the dead in Benghazi. Where did he have to go? To get a cocktail? To be on MSNBC? What was
something.
So important? He was literally pounding his hand on the desk. This was so important that he had to have an answer to the question. And then he not only didn't give her time, but then he left the hearing. So, you know, this speaks to the difficult situation we're in with it, how much grandstanding. Whoever you fault, whatever is good or bad about any policy or any crisis that has happened, everyone has their own right to that opinion, and I would not try to color that. But at the same time, you know, what does it say to you that people on both sides, what about those two senators, one Democrat, one Republican, Flake and Heinrich, who are participating in a reality show on a desert island?
Right.
Quote unquote, to show how well they can work together and overcome their differences. I got a hot flash for you. Why don't you take a few less breaks from session when you're in the Senate and do something that's going to benefit the American people? How's that for an idea?
Yeah, what a great idea. But, you know, with regard to how these hearings go, and that it's all about them getting FaceTime and sound bites, and I have the audio from Daryl Issa, I have it from Elijah Cummings, I have it from Jason Chaffetz. But I'm not going to play it because the same thing happened today. You had the guy get through into the White House over the fence, boom, boom, boom. He should have been shot dead, in my opinion. That's just, you know, some people don't like that, but this is the President of the United States. Like him or not, it doesn't matter. He's the President of the United States.
He must be kept safe. Absolutely.
He must be kept safe. Release the dog, shoot the guy, do what you have to do. Send the message that this is the most secure facility in the United States of America. Then you had the four shots in November 11th. The seven shots in November 11th that hit the White House that weren't discovered for 4 days, but were discovered by a housekeeper, not by Secret Service. So today, Julia Pearson, the head of the Secret Service, is sitting there. The first six people that I watched until I turned it off had 5 minutes each, and not one question was asked of her sitting there. They just wanted to get their 5 minutes and grandstand so they could get their sound bites played on radio and TV and then run to TV to get FaceTime so that they can feather their political nest.
Well, you know what's very important? I'm so glad that you brought this up, because for the American people, whoever that person is that happens to be in your district, if you heard them do that, that's something that you should really put in your tickler file and ask yourself if you really want to vote for that person in the upcoming midterms. And I don't really care what party they're from, because certainly this is going to give you, you know, as I think General Wesley Clark once said, if you want to know what somebody's going to do, take a look at what they've done. And as my old acting teacher used to say, character is as character does. This should tell you a great deal about a person. If they're in a hearing and they keep their eye on the prize, in other words, if they know what they're there to do and they follow through on their mission statement rather than aggrandizing themselves, that is likely the way they're going to work for you in your state, in your district, whatever. But if they're so busy just, you know, posing for the cameras, that also gives you a great deal of information.
But isn't that really what it is all about, though? It's posing for the camera, and it's like it's just become one giant reality show, that it's all about them. It's all about how this benefits them. It's all that how they can spin this into some benefit for themselves. You know, I don't know if you saw this, but it came out in the Wall Street Journal today. Bill Gross was the head of PIMCO. It's the largest bond fund in the world. I think they got something like $2 trillion. He quit, and he founded the company, and there was a guy that took over for him. Bill Gross used to sit at the front of the room and manage everybody, you know, kind of like, you know, as the titular head of PIMCO. And of course, you know, he founded I get all that. But the guy that took over sits in the middle of everybody. And he still sits in the middle of everybody. And he said today, this is more about teamwork. This is more about collaboration. And it's less about TV cameras. Because Bill Gross was on TV, on CNBC in particular, all the time. And this guy said, enough with the TV cameras. Let's just do what we're supposed to do, which is try and deliver the best return on the bond funds we have for the people's money that we manage. And I looked at that and I was like, oh, thank God. Somebody just wants to do their job and not be famous for doing it. You get recognition when you do a good job. You don't go on TV and tell us what a great job you've done, when obviously the results would dictate something different. And you don't go on TV and tell us what a great job you will do. Do it, and we'll recognize it, and we'll reward it, but don't try and paint the tape and tell me about something that's going to happen that never seems to get around to happening.
Oh, amen. Absolutely. And that I think, getting back to what we were originally talking about, is why I have so many objections to news personalities getting on TV shows, because they think that they can't hire an actor to do this, or to get these political operatives. You know, entertainment people, producers, they're going to try to do anything they can to sensationalize and put butts in the seats. That's what they're about. They're about, sure, they want to make the dollar. But you know what? They're there to entertain. I fault even more the political operative and the news personality for allowing themselves to be put in that situation, because what it does is it trivializes the political arena, and it trivializes the news, because what it says is, as you said, it is all one big reality show, and that is what is most dangerous. And I think that the more people protest and make it known that, you know what, we don't like it when you people do that, I think that's going to make some kind of a difference, because those are the people that need to be put on notice.
And to your point about actors working, I haven't worked on the boards in a long time, but I last remember that I think it was 3% of the members of the Screen Actors Guild made over $50,000 in that last year that I have information on. There's actors out there that act, and they study, and they do off-Broadway, and they do Shakespeare in the Park, and they do regional theater, and they would love an opportunity to be on a network show like The Good Wife on Sunday night, but they get this hack, Valerie Jarrett, who has no place being on the boards. It's just political stunt casting.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the other thing. It's just, you know what, the people who say they want to give Americans a job, why don't you give American actors a job? Because most of them are lucky. They're, you know, making $30,000 a year.
Right. It's a tough business. You got anything coming up? I know you're out there doing a commercial hustle. What's in Anita Finley's TV future?
I have a couple of commercials, but I told you I've written a new book, so I'm just waiting to hear back from the publisher on that, whether they like it or they're sending me back to the drawing board.
So don't you love spending time with editors? Hey, read Anita Finley's piece, The Good Wife's Bad Political Stunt Casting. You can get it at epictimes.com, and then we link to her website, which is anitafinley.com. And check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 16 weeks, 4 months, number one position, Amazon's Women in Politics list. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Anita. Thank you very much.
Jerry, you're the best. Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening, and same to your listeners.
You too. We'll do it again soon. Stick with us. Wrap it up when we get back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.